Blog Talk Radio.
In the spirit of the ministry, word of evangelism, our pastor, the Reverend Dr. Doris Dorsey. Once again, we come greeting in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and who will be a witness. And we just thank God for this day as we come to stand before you and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and his teaching and preaching. And we just thank God for this opportunity to stand before you and be a witness. Because as we look into the scripture, we find that God Almighty was a witness. He witnessed him, and he said who his son is. And then there was the Holy Spirit. He bore witness of him. And John the Baptist, when he came bearing witness. And we just thank God. We thank God for all that he's doing here in his present ministry, Word Evangelism. And we just thank God for his son, Jesus. And we just thank God for all that he's going to do here for us. And we just praise and worship him this day. and we just come in thanksgiving and praise. In this brother, Mr. Word Evangelism is a great commission ministry. We're called by God to go into the world to preach and teach the gospel and baptize, and in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We believe that we go out and bear witness and let others know who Christ Jesus is and share the gospel of the kingdom. As we go and share in the gospel, we thank God for that. We just thank God to give him all the honor and all the glory and all the praise as we come today and to worship him in spirit and in truth. And we praise and worship him this day. And we just thank God. We thank God. And as we continue in the word, let's bear in mind that Paul, when he was in Berea, he said that the Berean was noble-minded. They search the scriptures daily. And I encourage you to search the scriptures daily because it's the word of God that will sustain us in this walk. It's the word of God that will keep us. It's the word of God because it's powerful, the word of God. And we just thank God and we praise and we worship him this day. And we just give him all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. And we thank God for that. And we thank God for all he's doing in our lives and what he's doing in the life of the believers. And we just thank God for all that he has in store for us this day. And we thank God for that. And we praise him and we worship him. And as we come today to worship him in spirit and in truth. Well, once again, as we were searching the scriptures, we focused our attention in our last meeting. We covered and we revisited commitment. Because commitment led us to what Jesus gave us, the call. And that call comes with commitment. We can't overlook that. And that's why we spend so much time there. Because to be committed, to have a commitment, Paul makes a statement, and you read it in the NIV. Paul said in the NIV in Corinthians, he made a statement that he is addicted. And I was surprised to see that because it was in the NIV. And when I looked at the word and what he had meant about this, he was saying that he was devoted, dedicated, committed to Christ Jesus. And I use that as an analogy because sometimes we find ourselves seeing these words in the NIV and sometimes in other scriptures. There are different words, but what he meant is that he was totally sold out, committed, devoted, dedicated to Christ Jesus, dedicated to him. And I just thank God that as when I looked and I saw this, I'm saying, this is what he's saying. And so when you say that I'm committed to him, you're saying a lot. Because you have to stop and look at your life and see if you are totally sold out. Am I sold out? Christ Jesus is number one. He's primary in my life. I'm totally sold out, living my life in Christ Jesus as we search the scriptures. And that's why I encourage you to search the scriptures, because when we search the scriptures, God speaks to us. He speaks to us in his word. I've had people tell me, you know, I'm not hearing from God. Hearing from God is to be in his word and to be led by the Spirit. What is God saying to you as we search the scriptures and look into his word? What is he saying? What is he speaking to you? What is the Holy Spirit, what is he taking you? Because sometimes we'll depend on mankind, and go to mankind and ask that person, or that individual, what is God, you know, I have this problem and I'm trying to figure out what God is saying to me. And once you present that problem to an individual, and that person, whatever position they're in, and the offices that God have designated those gifts that have been given to those offices for the edification and the building of the body, notice that these gifts are given for the edification and building of the body. They give you a word, and that word is coming from God. It's not man, and it's not from intellect. It's not from my own intellect and my own understanding. It's what the Word of God is saying. What is the Word of God? What the Word of God is saying to us, and we thank God for the Word, and that's why I always say, search the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures, And as you search the scriptures, you'll see what God say to us and what he is saying to us, to be devoted to him, to be committed to him, and to be dedicated to him. And that is how we live our life in Christ. And we are dedicated to him, and we serve. Dedicated and we serve as his disciples. Dedicated and willing to serve, and not to be served. And I say that because sometimes we live in a society that look at getting rewards and what do I get out of this? And Christ Jesus have outlined to us and made it very clear to us is that we serve. He came seeking the saving that which is lost. He didn't come to be served. He came as a ransom. He was offered up as a ransom. He redeemed us, and he served. And Isaiah speaks of him as the suffering servant. And I can't say that enough, because sometimes we are looking for what's in it for me. What is in it for me? And when I say that, I always think about Judas, and that was one of his attitudes that he had. It was all about what? Avarice. It was all about self. It's all about what's in it for me. And I gave a definition. I said the definition of self-denial is what? It's a life of commitment. When you're committed, self-denial is commitment. It's not what is it in it for me. It's how. What do I do to look out for others, for you, and for others. What am I willing to do for you? What am I willing to do for others? What am I willing to do in my service to God? What am I willing to do service to others? And it's not about what others are going to give me or serve me. And we have to watch that attitude, because sometimes the attitude is not an attitude of service. It's an attitude of what do I get out of this? What's the payoff? And as we come today, we are picking up, we'll see the integration between commitment and my Father's business. And that's why I left here. My Father's business. And so, and as we come to that point of commitment and looking at commitment, that comes with obedience and faith. Always coexist. Obedience, faith, and love. A common thread throughout Scripture. And it's seamless, and it is seamless. It goes. It's always in Scripture, and from Genesis to Revelation, you will see love, faith, and obedience, not necessarily in that order. And it's demanded. It's commanded. Obedience is commanded. Loyalty is commanded. That's from Genesis to Revelation. And that's why we say we teach the whole counsel of God. We preach and teach the whole counsel of God. Not just to isolate and exegete. It is the whole counsel of God. Faith and obedience. Even in the beginning, you'll see it. God gave Adam a command not to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That's a command. He have access to everything else, but this is a command. And it comes with what? Obedience. He is in this relationship with God. And he's in this righteous relationship with God, and he is under pure grace. He's operating in pure grace. Pure grace. Adam is operating in pure grace. Pure. And can you imagine being in the garden under pure grace? And then he has one commandment, and that commandment is given to him, and it operates out of what? I'm taking God for his word, operating in faith. I'm trusting him. He told me something for my good and obedience. Because why? God loves me. Always about love. It's always about his love. It's always, you'll see the faith, you'll see the loyalty and the obedience. And that's what he demands from us. And that's what he commands us. And it's not grievous. It's not hard. And it's amazing to be under God's, under pure grace, they are under pure love, and having this relationship, this intimate and close relationship with God, and something comes in. And we know, we've studied it. Satan and his demonic force with his lies, who is the father of lies, comes in. And what happens, we see the fall. But then after that, he makes a plan for us. He's going to send his son, Jesus. Genesis 3:15. Not in the Gospels. Sometimes we say it's the Gospels. No, Genesis 3:15. God's purpose and God's plan is outlined as he worked it out down through 40 and two generations. And it comes to Christ Jesus. And we just thank God. You see a common thread that goes all the way. Love, faith, and obedience. Loyalty. And we're in the household of God. So since we're in the household of God, speaking to the church today, and those that are not in the church, they're listening, come to an understanding. This is what they're talking about. So this is what it's about when they're saying that sons and daughters, the family business. Because sometimes when we see this, we stop and we look at it, and we think about Jesus, and it's just only about him. No, it's about all of us. It's about us. It's a call for unity. And that's a word that we hear about. It's amazing that we can live here in the United States of America, and we can go to the United Arab Republic, Emirates and all, and they will be united. And we can go into the United Kingdom, and we can understand that. When it comes to England and all of those areas, and Germany with the Union, the European Union, and we see all these countries and all these nations, they come together and call themselves, and they're working in unity. But then we are under God, and we are under God as sons and daughters, and then he demands what? Unity. Shouldn't be hard. Shouldn't be grievous. Shouldn't be something that we're sitting around trying to figure it out. Because Jesus is speaking about unity. We're living our life in Christ, and it's unity. It's a unified church. The kingdom is unified. Unity. And the call is for unity. And it's unified. And so when we speak about the ministry of reconciliation, then it's a unified church. One faith. It's one faith. One God, one baptism, and one Spirit, unified. And so, the Father's business, the family business, and the question comes, the theological question will come, and we have to stop and look at it, and we almost address the theological question, and the question number one is, am I in the family business? Am I involved in the family business? What is the family business? How do I get involved in the family business? Who is in charge of the family business? What is my role in the family's business? We can ask it from any perspective. As we stop and look at it, these are some of the questions that we have to ask ourselves about the family business. Am I truly involved in the family business? Am I involved in the family business? Do I want to be involved in the family business? Because I've met people, when they come into on a humanistic view, don't have nothing to do with the family business. People be talking about entrepreneurs and all that, and I've seen people come and say, "No, I don't want a part of that," because for various reasons. I sat in council with a family once, had a business, and I sat in council with them, and it was in such a disarray. The family business was it was all over the place. But yet and still, as we sit in council, we find some of them want to be in it, some of them don't like it, they don't like each other. And everybody has their own personal agenda and a family business. Because sometimes we'll mention the family business and we just go on about our business and we're not even involved in it. But yet and still, when it comes up to it, it's just like, well, you know, I'm in the business. And here we find our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He speaks about the business. And as we look at a business, we must keep this in mind, because there's something about being in a business. Because again, we look at Why are we in this business? And I think you have to answer that yourself. Because when I look at the scriptures, I see this family, a unified family, the church. And we're taking care of his business. And I think sometimes I have to examine myself. Paul said, "Other man, examine himself to see if he's in the faith. If he's in the faith, examine yourself." This comes with self-examination. Self-examination takes a lot, and as we stop and look at this, so that's what we're talking about today. This family business. Jesus have already called us. We went to Matthew, the 4th chapter, and we saw the call. And the call went out. And it's a call. The call is a call of reconciliation. Our call. And when we look at the call of reconciliation in Matthew 4:17, Jesus said, from that time, the scriptures say, from that time, if you didn't, after the baptism, Satan tempted him. Then verse 17 said, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Notice that Jesus began his ministry by saying, repent. John the Baptist's ministry, repent. And that, like I said once before, that's a word that we don't like. And Jesus commanded us to repent. He commanded repent. And he said, the kingdom is at hand. And he's letting us know right there is at hand that the kingdom has come. It's already come. Has arrived. Is here. And he's called us to repentance. And the kingdom is already is here. And it suggests that it's just an inauguration of the reign of God, which still awaits its consummation. We're in the kingdom. The kingdom is here. Kingdom people. That's why we say it. We don't say we're kingdom people because we just want to say we're kingdom people. The kingdom is already here. And we are in the kingdom. And as in the kingdom, we are children, sons and daughters, children of God in the kingdom. And as we come into the kingdom, let's stop and think, because we have to get our mindset on that. Because sometimes when we hear it, and we hear the scripture, and I hear people preach about it. And when Jesus said it, when he said it to his mother and to his father, his earthly father, Joseph, I must be about my father's business. And see, Mary ponders on this, because she knows where he's coming from. And here it is, when they in Canaan, whatever he say, do it. So that is what Mary commands the servant. Whatever he tells you to do, you do it. We are about his business. And so since we're in the family business, that means that we are engaged in some work. And it's not about salvation. It's a serious work or endeavor. And he leaves us with some affairs to take care of and to be involved in. And it's not like a business that we see here when we go into the workplace. But, yet and still, when we go into the workplace, we go to a place of business, and we go there to do a job. And it's a serious work and activity. So we find ourselves involved in that. And the question again, the theological question again will come up is, Where are you in the as far as your involvement in the business, in the family business? What's your involvement in the family business? Where are you at when it comes to the family business? Because Christ Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. And he called us to do this. He called us to get involved in it. And he called, and the call in Matthew 4:17 is reconciliation. And our first assignment in the ministry of reconciliation is to answer call for repentance. That's our first call. Christ Jesus called us, and we must examine ourselves repentance of, as far as our own separatism. Are we separated from it? And then, as we talked about commitment, that means, and as we looked at there, I said once before, left to our own devices, we tend towards self-centeredness and chaos. And if we're just left up to our own devices, we'll move towards self-centeredness and chaos. What is in it for me? What about me? It's all self-centered. Because Jesus commanded us, we said before, he said, you cannot be my disciple. If it's all self-centered and chaos, you can't be Jesus' disciple. Because that keeps us separate. A lot of pride, greed, avarice. So he tells us to repent. And when we look at this reconciliation, he's looking at that. Jeremiah 17, verses 21 to 32 focus on that self-centeredness. That's what we read about all the time, and we make it one thing. Only thing we focus on in Romans there in the first chapter is when he's kind of condensed it down to one thing. But no, what he's talking about is self-centeredness. When it comes to Jeremiah 17:9, it's about self-centeredness and chaos in our life. And so he called us to repentance. And if when he called us there, and before we can say we in the household, then we will focus on helping people to be reconciled to God with others as well. And how do we do that? Dr. Dawson played a song in the beginning, and when we first started here, we'll witness to someone. Who will be a witness? We'll witness to someone. We're witness to all the people. We'll tell all the people about Christ and what Christ has done in our lives. We become a witness. And as we go out and witness, and that means that all believers, not listed, not just limited to the offices of the church that you see in Ephesians, the fourth chapter of Ephesians. That's all believers in the household of God. All believers in the household of God. And so as we look, as we kind of lay the foundation here, he called us to repentance, and then when he calls us, becoming in a spirit of armor repentance, open our way to peace and reconciliation to flow. Peace and reconciliation to flow. And so now it opens it. It opens for peace. Then we focus on helping people to be reconciled to God and with others. And all the result of the cross is the cross. And we'll find that in Colossians 1:20. And the fruit of the Spirit that sometimes we take for granted. The fruit of the Spirit and the cross. Galatians 5:22 and 23. Being at work in our lives. Jesus redeemed us, the cross. And he gave us the Holy Spirit. And he told us that we live the abundant life, we bear much fruit. And it's not just for me. The abundant life is what I'm reaching out to others, and I'm sharing with others, and I'm letting others know, and I'm a witness, and I'm letting others know about Christ. And the ministry of reconciliation, as we continue to go forward and live and work and be about our Father's business. Jesus tells us in Luke, the second chapter, chapter 2, verse 49, I must be about my Father's business. I must be about my Father's business. And sometimes I think when we see that, we focus our attention on he's 12 years old, and that's good. But yet and still, he's talking about a business. The business. And what is this business he's talking about? Where's the business? And I think we need to ask our question, what is this business is he speaking about here in Luke? Because sometimes when we see it, and we'll build a theology around it, but yet and still, as we stop and look at it, what is this business is he talking about? And when he tells this mother that, here in Luke 2:49, he speaks about a business. And then not only Father's business, then there is what? The family business. And that's when it comes to us. The family business. How are we involved in it? And I think that's one of the questions we need to ask ourselves today. My involvement in the family business. Do I just say I go to church and I'm in Christ and there and I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and I take do the article of the confession of the church covenant, come up with and all this stuff is in the different denominations. I'm not saying anything against anything, but I want you to stop and look at it. The article of faith, the church covenant, the apostle creed. Then I just walk on out. Because they say the Apostle Creed all the time in some denomination, the church covenant in some denomination, and the Article of Faith that we read. And when you read the Article of Faith, that's got to be something going on. There's got to be some action going there. It's just not just saying something and going through a ritual and being ritualistic. There's got to be an action that comes behind that. And that is the business. Because James still means that the devil believes. And they tremble. The demons believe, and they tremble. And as we stop and look at this, it's not just I believe. The demons believe. And James let us know that faith without work is dead. And he said, "You show me your faith, I'll show you my works." Is he coming in and saying that Paul is wrong? He said that it's just live by faith, that we walk by faith and not by sight. He said, no. Walking by faith and not by sight. I'm trusting God. I believe God. I'm walking in faith. But then I put faith into action. James said, you put faith in action. And he comes and tells us that we be what? We be not only a hearer of the word, but we be a doer. Doing the Father's business. We become involved in the Father's business. We become a doer. Doing the Father's business. And that's what he's speaking about. Jesus, I must be about my Father's business. And he is constantly, he's focusing. He's going to the cross. He's going there, taking care of his Father's business. He go from city to city, place to place. He's feeding. He's done exactly what when John the Baptist asked him the question, are you the one, or do we look for another? And he does exactly what Isaiah said about him in Isaiah 61. And he sent the message back. Setting the captives free, healing the sick, giving sight to the blind, and then when you look at what Isaiah said about him, Isaiah 53, as well as Isaiah 61, and that's the confirmation. Oh yeah, he is the one. But then he leaves, he ascends into the heaven. The disciples are sitting there, and they're looking up. And the angel asked the question, why are you standing here looking up? Why are you standing here looking and gazing up? He's going to come back the same way. But see, you need to get on back about the business. And I put it in plain English. But yet and still, not to be standing around in a passive way. Just gazing and waiting. The Thessalonians, Paul writes to the Thessalonians, they are sitting there waiting for Christ to come back. And everybody's sitting around, and they're all eating off each other, and they're sitting there. And Paul makes a statement. Sometimes we take it out of context. If you don't work, you don't eat. But he's telling people to get up and take care of the Father's business. Don't be just sitting around there waiting for him to come back. He says that, and then he goes to 2 Thessalonians. He goes more in detail about it. Tell about his coming. Let us know that he's going to come. They comfort each other with these words, and it's going to happen. The kingdom is now and is here, and then when he comes back, there's going to be a consummation of the kingdom. When it's consummated, we're going to be caught up with him. And then the question is going to be asked, what did you do with what I gave you? And if you sit there and you say, well, I hid it on the bushel, whatever you did with it, then you're going to have to give account. I gave it to you, and so you're responsible. I gave you that job. I gave you that position. I gave you all this. I gave you the money. I gave you the house. I gave you the car. I gave you everything that you need. And everything you need is for the ministry of reconciliation, which is for my glory. It's for my glory. And I stop and look at it and say, oh, I thought it was for me. I thought you were just blessing me. I just thought it was for me. No, it is for the Ministry of Reconciliation as we take care of the Father's business. We in his business. Because if you look real closely, that's what it's about. Not sinning and it's not passive. Not standing around and it's passive. It's a passive thing, you know. I just come along and say, well, you know, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm a believer. And it's passive. And I think we have to examine ourselves and see where we're at. See if it's just passive. Are we just saying something and it's passive? Are we going through the rituals, the religious observance? Are we going through all the holidays and the religious holidays and operating passive, living very passive at it? Or it's time for another holiday, so we look very Christian-like. Is it time for a ritual? We go through the ritual. Is it time for this? And so, because the Bible tells us, and Isaiah speaks of it, the Bible tells us, God is not honoring rituals. Jeremiah speaks about it. And all the prophets speak about it. He does not honor rituals. It's gone through the motion. It's about taking care of his business, about my Father's business. And as a family member in the household of God, we are called to take care of the business. We are called to take care of the business until he come back. And he didn't leave us here by ourselves to take care of business. He sent the Holy Spirit. He said, you'll be endued with power. I'm sending the Holy Spirit, the Counselor, the Comforter. Paul said, comfort each other with these words. And he's the Comforter, the Word of God to comfort, the Holy Spirit to comfort. And he gives us all of this as we comfort one another and serve one another and help one another and to share with one another. Look at all the one another throughout the Bible. And it's all about others, one another. And he's speaking about unity within the body. Not just something that I'm here and I'm going to get this and I'm going to get that. It's about taking care of others, taking care of the family business. Where are you in the family business? What are you doing in the family business? And what are you going, how are you going about taking care of the family business? And I said earlier, as you look at 1 Corinthians 16, and as I turn there, in 1 Corinthians 16, Paul is writing, and he's talking to us. And look what Paul say. I told you the NIV, but it actually came out of the King James Version. And if you read it in the NIV, you'll see it also. As you look there, you see Paul uses a word that got my attention. 1 Corinthians 16:15. In 1 Corinthians 16:15, Paul makes a statement here. And he say, I beseech you, brethren, know that the house of Stephanas, that in the first fruit of Achaia, that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saint. What is Paul saying here? When I first saw that, I said, whoa, Paul used a powerful word. They have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saint, as Paul writes. They have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. And I said to myself, that is a powerful word, Paul, that you just put there. He wasn't talking about himself. He said to the ministry of the saints. And he was speaking about this minister here. And he was speaking about the minister and his house, Stephanas, and his house. And when he makes this statement, then he goes along. He talks about Aquila and Priscilla, two pastors there, Aquila and Priscilla, Priscilla and Aquila, and he speaks about them, about their work. And that tells me right there that when he makes a statement like that, he is making such a powerful statement because, as I said before, they're ministering to the saints. They're ministering to the saints, taking care of the Father's business. And I think right there, we must take a real close look. Jesus has always called us He's called us out. He's called us, given us the ministry of reconciliation. And here we find Paul speaks about it in 1 Corinthians 16:15. In 16:15, he makes that statement about this household of Stephanus. And when you look here, he makes this statement about his work. The whole household was doing what? Taking care of the father's business. The whole household was serving. That whole household was serving and taking care of who? The saints. And Paul uses powerful words, and King James Version, this word means what? Devoted. That's amazing. You take a word that most people think about addicted, they think about some drug or some alcohol or something like that. Well, you can be devoted to it too. I told you, when you use drugs and alcohol, you form a relationship with it, and you become devoted to it. You become dedicated to it. You dedicate your life to it. It becomes your God. You become and you covered it, and as you covered it, you're dedicated, you're devoted to it, and you're committed to it. You have a relationship with it. I said to you in our last meeting, what that our Christianity is a lifestyle. Addiction, drug addiction, is a lifestyle, and so as we stop and look at this, we find that this is that's a lifestyle. And this lifestyle of service that you see here, Paul speaks about, they were addicted to what? To who, Paul said? Paul said that they were addicted to the ministry of the saints, to the ministry of the saints. And that is devoted to the service of the saints. To the service of the saints. Our Father's business, the family business. Our father's business, the family business. And I think we have to look at ourselves and see, where are we in the scheme of things? Where are you in the scheme of things? Where are you, Frankie, in the scheme of things? Where you at? When it comes to service, Jesus said he came to do what? Not to be served, but to serve, and to offer himself as a ransom. He redeemed us. He purchased us with his precious blood, the cross. And when we look to the cross, we see, well, we get this picture about the Father's business, and he told us to take up our cross and daily and follow him. And he said, "You take up his cross daily and follow him." He said, "If you can't do this," he said, "what? You cannot be my disciple." Call for commitment. The cross calls for commitment. He didn't tell you to go and just hang on the cross. He talked about you take up the cross and follow him in our day-to-day walk. You cannot be my disciple. You love God, you love him more than you put God first, and you love God in your relationship with God more than your relationship with your family. You cannot be my disciple. And so he gave us four, you cannot be my disciples, right in that passage of scripture that we studied about commitment and about discipleship. Here's what he's telling us. We are in the family. We are in the household. And we take care of the Father's business, because the Father left work for us to do. And as we enter into the vineyard, into the marketplace to carry out, we share the gospel. It's not by works, but we share the gospel. We serve not to be served, but we serve. And he made it very clear to us, we must take care of his business. Because he's coming back, and when he come back, let's not be like those virgins that we read about. Some of us get caught up into reading about as they trim their lamps and with the oil coming back, not ready, because it's a constant state of watching and praying, because he's coming back. Because no man knows the hour. No man knows when he's coming back. And so so when he comes back, he's going to come back, and then he's going to take put it all in order. So let's keep that in mind, because when it comes to being like Stephanus in his household ministering to the saints, we care for one another and we serve one another, and we are devoted to service. We are devoted. We are dedicated to service, and we are what? And we have this. We have this thing about serving others. Dedicated to it, devoted, and committed. And out of that commitment and that dedication, that devotion, we serve. And we serve, and we serve because we serve, not because God is going to give me something. We serve out of love. Out of love. It's all out of love. It comes from God. God is love. And so it's all out of love. It's not because I'm going to get this reward, I'm going to get this, I'm going to get that. We do it out of love. I'm going to get blessed because I do it. Because if you're looking for a blessing because you don't do it, then what are you doing? You just made it work. It's grace. And we talked about being gracious. He give us grace. He give us favor, so we give others favor. We are gracious to others. We love and be gracious to others. And he is the perfect example, Christ Jesus. And so as we look at it and we focus our attention, let's keep this in mind because you see how Paul commends this minister and his household, as he commends all the ministers that you see here in the 16th chapter, men and women. And I'm going to have to say that again because you know I'll get on that box. Men and women. As you look at it real close, you see all of their names, all these women, men, Priscilla, and you see all these women that are active and involved in the ministry, and you see them, and he speaks about them, and he commends them in this exhortation at the end, here in 1 Corinthians 16:15, and as I say, the 16th chapter, as we read the entire chapter. And we keep this in mind, sons and daughters. I've stressed that again, sons and daughters. God is not, Dr. Dorsey, God is no respect of person. When on the day of Pentecost, Peter stands up and the Holy Spirit comes. God pulls out his spirit, as the prophet Joel said, pour out his spirit on all flesh, male and female. God did not discriminate. And he sends us all out. And we are in the household of God. And since we're in the household of God, we're not just sitting around in the household. Can you imagine just sitting around in the household? You're in the household of God, and you're just sitting around. You're sons and daughters of God, and you're just sitting around. And then we can brag about Him, and we can boast about Him that I'm a child. I'm a son of the King. I'm a child of the King. I'm a daughter of the King. And I'm just sitting there just doing nothing because he's supplied by every need. I'm just sitting around just waiting to get something to eat. And he's going to take care of me. Why? Because I'm his son. I'm a son. He said it in the Word. He said it. Children of God. And so, and as we're there, that doesn't give me the position doesn't give me the privilege to just sit around. Be a prince and be a that, or being a royalty, having the inheritance that's in Christ Jesus, because we see the inheritance is there. It's been sealed, and nobody can break the seal. And we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians, Paul tells us we've been sealed, and nobody can come break the seal. We just sit around and just be sons and daughters and do nothing, eat, drink, and be merry. No, he didn't tell us that. We're called to serve and not to be served. Taking care of his business in the household of God. In the household, taking care of God's business. Because we are kingdom people. In the kingdom, there are things in the kingdom that the kingdom is already here. But we have to continue in the doing that what Christ has called us to do in the kingdom. The kingdom is what? Is it visible? Is it invisible? But the kingdom is now. It's already here. An invisible kingdom. It's already here. And we proclaim the gospel and we let others know that the kingdom is already here. The kingdom is already now. Jesus says it's already here. somebody say, I don't feel like I'm a kingdom person. I go to work every day. It's not about just going to work every day. It's not just about a paycheck, because I've had that attitude in the past. Remember back in the day, we'll call the job our slave. Yeah, people would say that slang word, our slave, our job, our gig, whatever word you can think of that we call a job. Living for the weekend, get paid on Friday, Saturday night, that attitude. No, that is not what it's all about. Even in the marketplace, we share the gospel. We are called to share the gospel. We call to serve. We call to serve others, to be a living epistle. When people see us, they see a living epistle. And somebody said, do they have to read it? No. It's about your action, your attitude, your heart. And as we see in Proverbs 4:23, which is the fountain of life. The fountain head is in the heart. And out of that fountain here in Christ Jesus, if he put us positionally there, it's in our heart, then what happens is it'll come out of us and people see it. People say, whoa. Have you ever drove through a city and saw a real beautiful fountain? And you look at the overflow coming out of it, and people will see you, and they say, look, that person spent time with Jesus. That person spent time in the Word. Why? Because they stepped up preaching? No, because the way they're living. And they get the opportunity to share the gospel. Because they're preaching, like in the pulpit preaching? No. Because when they speak as what the Spirit tells them to speak. In plain English, or in plain Spanish, or in plain Germany, whatever the English tells them to speak. And so the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. And so we live out our life as servants of Jesus Christ, and we raise the standard, and we let others know that who we are, and who we are, and whose we are. We raise the standard. People see the standard. They say, you raise the standard? Sure, you raise the standard. And as we raise the standard, people will know that those people are Christians. As we raise the standard. And we speak and we express and they see our faith is in Christ Jesus, our faith, our hope, as we raise the standard. And so as we raising the banner and letting others know that we're in the kingdom of God. For some reason, we have this mindset that once it's all over with, then we're going to be with Christ. But then he left us here to carry out the Father's business, to continue in the Father's business, because we are in the family. We're in the household. And I think we need to take a look and see where are we in the household. Because sometimes I think we fail to see where we're at in the household, because we live in a world system that kind of overshadows everything in our lives. And then we also have to keep in mind, as in Ephesians, the second chapter, you hear me speak about all the time, and sometimes I bring it out and make it very clear, and I personalize it, and you hear me personalize it, you know, don't get scared, and you can point your finger at me and say, oh, that guy was a sinner. But the thing about it is, that's what Paul is telling me, and that's what I will stop and I will reflect on. And when I say it, because when we look at the second chapter of Ephesians, Paul makes it very clear. And this is what overshadows sometimes to keep us from seeing that we're in the household of God. As we look at and when we read out of Ephesians chapter 2, and we take a look there, and we see in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 2 and 3. Paul said, And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit who now works in the son of disobedience, among whom also, underline this in verse 3, make sure you just block out verse 3, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves. See, Paul let us know right there, we were just like them, ourselves. And the lust of the flesh, fitting the desires of the flesh, and of the mind, underlying mind, was by some nature children of wrath, just as the others. And Paul let us know right there, we were children of wrath. And that'll believe if we take a look at in the son of disobedience is to come under the condemnation of God. Righteousness, righteous anger, justifiable judgment for having violated known boundaries of spiritual and moral duty. We'll see that in Romans 1:18-21, as I said earlier. And as we look there, we see, and we were under all of that. And so sometimes when we come to Christ and we answer the call of repentance, we ask him to come into our heart, and he is our Lord, he's our Savior, he is our Deliverer. And then what happened is, Paul speaks about it in Romans, the 7th chapter, the struggle between the sin nature, the natural, the sin nature, and the spiritual. That is what is natural and what is spiritual. And so sometimes we look to the natural. Even though we say we're in Christ, we're in the struggle, and we look to the natural, and we make those statements like, oh, it's my job, my debt, and we make all those negative statements. We look to the cross, and we see the spiritual, and then we find ourselves, and we're indwelled by the Holy Spirit, and then we can look at what Christ has called us to do. How do we use this job instead of giving it a negative name, a negative connotation, and we're saying something negative about it? How do we, instead of saying something negative about the world system and something negative about that, how do we use this what Christ has given us, and we come in and we serve and we lead others to Christ? That is what we do. We lead others to Christ. We share and we serve others and we let others know. Christ Jesus, I must be about my Father's business. I must be about my Father's business, the family business. Are you involved in the family business? Are we just sitting around passive waiting for something to happen? Involvement in the family business. Are we pressed down, depressed? Are we sitting around wondering, and doing a comparative studies about where you are in ministry? No, don't do that. We find Elijah. Elijah comes before Jezebel and the prophet of Baal. God works this supernatural miracle. And as he worked the miracle, the prophet is there, and you know the story that miracle call, that supernatural power of God works the miracle, slays all of Jezebel prophets and all of those that follow after Baal. And then what happened is all of a sudden Jezebel makes a statement, and Isaiah runs. And Isaiah is scared, depressed, out of fear, sitting in the cave. Depressed. Somebody said the prophet, not Isaiah, Elijah. Let me get that right. Elijah. Now, let's go all the way back to the story again. Elijah. Take out Isaiah, put Elijah there. And then if you stop and you look at him, he's sitting there in a cave, depressed, hiding in a cave. Oh, I must be the only one left. I must be the only one. Out of all that work and all that stuff you see him, he's sitting there and he's on a pity party, having a pity party. And God speaks to him. I'm putting this in plain English. And God speaks to him. Ask him, what are you doing here? And he tells him to go outside and look. And he goes outside and he sees this small cloud and it's about the size of his hand, the Bible says. And he goes out. And then what happened? You hear what he tells him. He tells him that it's not in the thunder. It's not in the lightning. So, you see, sometimes we be looking for this stuff, our work, and you know, I can do all this work, and we're looking for somebody to come back and in the thunder, and it's in the lightning, it's in the wind. It's got to be some supernatural, powerful thing. God tell Isaiah, say, you're not the only one. Say, I got the more prophets out there, and they are serving. And then he tells him what? He speaks to him in a still, quiet voice. He comes and speaks to him. And so what he's saying, no matter what minuscule thing that you're doing, no matter what you're doing in service, no matter how big, how smart, God is not looking at how big it is. I think we live in the world system that tells us that people, that God see things big, that you're doing some big thing. I'm going to build a bigger bond. So when we start talking about building these bigger bonds, then we start getting back to that self-centeredness. I must do this and I must do that, build a bigger bond. He's speaking to us in a still quiet voice. He's speaking to us in that voice, and he blesses the service. He blesses the service. He blesses us. He speaks to us. He said, hey, I got others out there. Elijah. And you were the prophet Elijah. Think about that. Oh, I got some others out there. And they are doing things. And they're out there and they're behind the scene. And I got some people out there that, you know, you don't even know about. I got some people out there doing some things that, and I speak to them in still, quiet voice, and they're doing things no matter what it is. They're serving. Yeah. Gave somebody a glass of water today. They're serving. They helped somebody get dressed today. They're serving. They gave somebody a bath today. They're serving. And it's not in the thunder. It's not in the lightning. It's not in the wind. So, you know, we're looking for that big thing to happen. He tells us in the household of God, as servants in the household of God, that we serve and not to be served. Jesus made that very clear. Made it very clear. Because in Luke, I must be about my Father's business. And so, and as we look there, then the word took us to Corinthians. As 1 Corinthians, Paul speaks about Stephanas in his household. And he let us know right there that they're serving. They're serving. And who are they ministering to? Paul said they're ministering to who? He commanded about their laboring. And he said, I'm glad of the coming of Stephanas and he commends them, and he let us know right there that, you know, they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints, and they're totally devoted to it, and that is the business that we are involved in: total devotion and commitment to the ministry of the saints. Paul never said anything about the saints serving them, propping them up, exalting them. If you notice, Paul never said anything about that. We have to watch the mindset that happens in the 21st century where we said we want to be exalted and set up high. Paul said to the ministry of the saints, serving the saints, serving the other believers, serving the people of God. It's about service in the household of God. It's about service. Now, again, I have to remind you again, as we examine ourselves, we need to see exactly where we are. Because Paul tells us here in Corinthians, let a man examine himself and see if he's in the faith. He tells us, he makes that very clear to us, to examine ourselves. And it's not for me to say where you are and who you are. It's for you to stop and examine your own self. And as he speaks to us, as he brings this to our attention, here in 1 Corinthians 16:15, and he makes that very clear to us. The ministry of the saints, that's in 15C there, and they were devoted to that. And as we look at 2 Corinthians 8:4, I think Paul repeats himself there, and he makes that statement again. He's talking when he looked at the collection for the ministry, and he said, praying with us much entreated that we would receive the gift and taken upon us the fellowship to the ministering of the saint. Paul is always talking about the ministering of the saint, taking care of the saint, ministering to the saint, making sure that they get what they need. About my Father's business, the family business. And I think when we stop and look at the family business, what are we doing? It's not passive, as I said earlier. Matthew's gospel, which is our background scripture, and we came from out of Luke there, but also is part of the background. It is the background scripture in the New Testament. In Matthew 5:9, look at what it said in Matthew 5:9 about this family business. Sometimes we look at it in the Beatitudes, not the Beatitudes, we look at it in the Sermon on the Mount. Sermon on the Mount, and I would be quick, my mind quickly said the Beatitude, but you didn't see it's the Sermon on the Mount. On the Sermon on the Mount, you'll find Jesus, he's teaching. And he's teaching here. And as he teaches on at the Sermon on the Mount, he starts out, he tells them to follow him. He calls his disciples, and he says, follow me. Verse number 4:19. He said, follow me. And he said to them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. He called his disciples, follow me, and I'll make you fish of men. He said, I'll make you fish of men. And see, and that call went out to us also. And we're going out and be fishers of men. We take this gospel. We take this gospel message to the end of the world, of the earth. Taking this gospel message always. And he tells them he's going to make them fishers of men. They had met Jesus already, we find in John, but now they left the secular occupation to follow him. They left everything to follow him. They left it to follow him. And then when we find it here in the chapter 5, he's going to run from chapter 5 all the way over to chapter 7. I think it is chapter 7. Jesus is preaching here. He's teaching. And I want you to take a note on chapter 7 at verse number 28-29. And it says, and so it was when Jesus had ended the saying, the people were astonished at his teaching, for he charged one to have an authority and not the scribe. But before we go there, let's go back up to verse number 24, and we're going to read that, and you read it all the way down to 27. But Jesus speaks about building on the rock, and we're going to leave that right there for now. But I want you to go into the Beatitudes, because this covers over about two. This sermon covers about two, pretty close to two chapters. And most of the time, we hear it. You hear me saying the same thing that most people say. They say the Beatitudes, and stop right there. When we look at this scripture, let's keep this in mind. Jesus is speaking about what? Character. He's speaking about character. He's speaking about the character. He's speaking about the character of a follower, a Christian. Because sometimes I've seen people teach it in church. They'll take the Beatitudes and they'll stop and look at it, and somebody say, oh, that's the way I am. That's the way I am. I'm a peacemaker. That's the way I am. I'm humble. That's the way I am. I'm, you know, and they started looking for little things that they can say that's the way they are. No. This is the character character. Looking at characters, we should or we must possess these qualities. When we follow the Christ Jesus, it's nothing that we do. If it was possible for me to take on any one of those characters and say, that's me, it would have happened when I was in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. I would say, well, you know, I'm just going to pick up that character being humble, because I am a humble person, even though I'm living in under the rulership of the prince and power of the air, Satan. You know? That's character. It's about moral and ethical character. And I think sometimes we try to eisegete it. We try to pick up pieces of it and say, that's me. And we must look at this Christian character from that perspective, because Jesus is speaking to us loudly about how we live and how we serve in the family business. How we live and how we serve in the family business. It's about Christian character. And how we live and how we serve in the family business. And once we look at it real closely, we look at it through the eyes of God, we'll stop and we have to do a self-examination. We have to look at ourselves and see where we are and what are we doing. where are we at in regards to the family business? And that's what we're looking at. And that's what we're talking about. Because the last time when I talked, when we spoke about the Beatitudes, and we looked into chapter 5, and we looked into chapter 6 and chapter 7, and we looked at all of this Christian character that Christ have outlined for us. And he's not saying that, oh, you're going to have to work and get all this done. It is done by the power of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that he has put in us. The Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. Thank God the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. Because when I was dead in my trespasses, I was dead in my trespasses under the rulership, under the lordship of the prince and power of the air, separated from God. Jesus called the cause to repent. John the Baptist said, repent. Jesus said, repent. That was the call. Been reconciled back to him. And then he speaks here in Matthew's gospel about these characters that comes with that repentance, and we follow him and become fishers, working and not as who we're trying to work for salvation, but going forward, serving. I'm going to take working out. Serving. Because if I say work, people start thinking about, I have to work and get this done. Serving others. And so right here, as you look, so let's keep that in mind. So when we see the Sermon on the Mount, it's about moral and ethical character, moral and ethical character of a Christian in the household of God. Somebody said, do I get all of them? Being led by the Spirit. As I said earlier, it's the cross and what else? The fruit of the Spirit. That was bring by this ethical character, this moral and ethical character of a Christian. The fruit of the Spirit in Galatians, the fifth chapter, verses number 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is, let's read it. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Verses that I would love. And as we go there and read it in its entirety, I'm trying to turn it as fast as I can because the Spirit took me there. And as we look at the fruit of the Spirit, let's take a look at this. It's in Galatians. And as we turn to the fifth chapter of Galatians, and it reads what? 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So we see Jesus going to the cross. It's the cross and it's the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. We bear much fruit. When he speaks to us about the true vine, we bear fruit, the abundant life. And it comes through the fruit of the Spirit, the overflow, the heart, as we see in Proverbs 4:23, the heart, the fountain of life. Out of it comes the issue of life. And he tells us to guard it because we're guarding what? Intellect. We're guarding the mind. Intellect. We're guarding what else? We're guarding the emotions. We're guarding these. We're guarding what else? The will, the moral conscience and the will. That is at a human level we're talking about. We're talking about humanity now. He tells us that we have a job to do. We have to guard the mind, guard the emotions, guard the moral conscience and the will. And he gives us the Holy Spirit. He gives us the Holy Spirit to help us. And as he helps us, then we watch what goes in because it's the Word of God that we take on the Word of God and that we become more Christ-like. Because right before he gets to the fruit of the Spirit, watch what he say. Watch what he takes us. Paul takes us back up to verse number 18. He's talking about walking in the Spirit. He's well, if you be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. By the work of the flesh and manifest with those adulteries, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, adultery, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, reviling, and such like, of which I tell you before us, before as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Somebody going to tell you that you will inherit it, but Paul said, I've told you before, you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And he said, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But then he tells what the fruit of the Spirit is. See, Christ Jesus didn't leave us here gazing up and all by ourselves. He gave us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes into our heart, and he is the transformer. In Romans 12, 1, 2, and 3, he is the transformer. Hollywood ain't got no transformers, y'all. The Holy Spirit is the transformer. He transforms us. Renewal the mind. He renews the mind. The Holy Spirit renews us. Jesus Christ is the baptizer. Jesus Christ, John tells us that. After the baptize, he baptized. He'll baptize you with what? The Holy Spirit. And so as we stop and we look and we see, he didn't leave us here by ourselves to carry out the Father's business, since we are in the household of God and we are in the family business. So he didn't leave us here by, and trying to figure out how to do it, trying to transform myself by going off and studying more and going off and doing more and living to the highest standard in my life. I don't care how high standard I live in this life, it will not meet God's standard, his moral standards. When it comes to his moral standards, I can have a life, and you stop, and you, when you're leaving down in the coffin, wherever you put me at, and you take a look at me, and you say, man, this guy had, he for his moral and ethical standards and the type of person he was in this life, well, he was an outstanding man. He did this, he did that. He did all these things, and he lived a moral life, a righteous life, and he was such a man. Never meet God's standards. His moral standards. And that's why people come out, we try to tell us to, you know, we try to get us to convince us not to be involved, you know. Well, you know, you can do that. Jesus said, you cannot be my disciple if it's inconsistent. He never said you can be an inconsistent disciple, half-heart disciple. He said, you can't be my disciple. Oh, well, because when it comes to situational morals, and boy, the United States of America is full of it, and the world today is full of it, situational morals. Well, you know, that's okay with that. God's all right with that. That's a lie of the devil, I tell you. Situational morals. For this situation, I love you, but, you know, I'm not going to, you know, that situation there, you know, I'm not going to judge that. It's okay, because that's your right. Grace does not give us the license to sin. You've heard me say that before. Grace don't give us license. Situational morals. Jesus is not speaking about situational morals here. He's saying the highest standard. And out of the highest standard, then he says, this is what it is. And he laid it out to us. And we don't come and pick and choose which one we want. It's the highest standard. When we look at the Sermon on the Mount, it's the highest standard. You don't pick and choose. He gave us the Holy Spirit to help us. What the fruit of the Spirit is. One thing about it, he told us to cast our cares on it, and he didn't make it hard for us. It comes with what? What does it come with? Love, faith, and obedience. Right back there again. Loyalty. Obedience. Still in the same place it was with Adam in the beginning. Reconciled back to him. And as we look here in Matthew's gospel, look at what he's saying. I took you here, the Spirit takers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called daughters of God. Sons and daughters. He poured out his Spirit on all flesh. the peacemaker. Why didn't he say blessed are the peacemaker? I'm just reading along. We see it because right there he said there will be sons of God, sons and daughters. Somebody said, are you isolating them again? No. This is a character. We're talking about moral and ethical, as far as moral and ethical standards that God set. The peacemaker. And then when we looked here, being a peacemaker means becoming the initiator of reconciling conflicts between others and us. A reconciler. Jesus Christ reconciled mankind back to himself. So he said, you know, a peacemaker, reconciling mankind back to himself. That means that we don't get caught up in all this other stuff out there. And that is one of those characteristics that we stop and look. But I want to just take a look at what he said. He said, they are sons and daughters. We are sons and daughters. And when we look at the family business, the family likeness, this is what he's speaking up to us about. We're in the household of God. Sons and daughters. Blessed are the peacemakers. Sons and daughters. And I think once we can get into our mind that when we're in Christ Jesus, we're abiding in him and he's abiding in us, then we become sons and daughters. We abide in the word. We have this relationship with God. We're about back in right relationship with God. So we are sons and daughters. Now, he said, blessed are the peacemaker. They're sons and daughters. And he said to us, their call should be called sons and daughters of God. We're in the household of God. And God is the supreme peacemaker. And his sons and daughters are to follow his example. In the household of God, we follow his example. We're not left up to our own devices. As I said earlier, we're not left up to our own devices. He's called us, and we're not left up to our own thing. Well, I think I'll just do this. I'll just do that. God, if I'll do this, and I'm going to serve God with this, and I'm all for this to God with that. No. He said, Paul tells us to present these bodies as a living sacrifice in Romans 12:1. 2 and 3, as we read it on. And then here in verse 3, he tells us not to boast about ourselves. We can't be boasting about anything. He let us know right there. And so as we come into the household, we are about his business. He is supreme. And then since he is the supreme peacemaker, his sons and daughters follow his example. So we come to this three chapters here in the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount. I say it again, on the Sermon on the Mount. When we come there, we have to keep in mind that Jesus is laying it out to us. Moral and ethical living. Moral and ethical living. And we walk in these examples. It's not something that we do in our own power. It's what the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives. Because we follow him. We are led by the Spirit. Paul said those that are led by the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. And he calls it to the fruit because we are led by the Spirit. And another example of being led by the Spirit, sometimes we see it when the Spirit led, Jesus was led into the wilderness. He was led by the Spirit. When Satan tempted him, he was led by the Spirit. Somebody say, you mean the Holy Spirit leads Jesus to temptation? He was led by the Spirit. But what did Jesus do? He gave him the word. I say it all the time, search the scriptures. As we search the scriptures, when temptation comes, and when trials and tribulation come, when turmoil comes in our life, we meet it with the word. We resist the devil with the word. We use the word. We resist him with the word. As we come resisting him with the word, standing our ground and resisting him with the word, we have the victory over sin. By resisting him. James said, you resist the devil and he'll flee from you. With the word. And we have victory over the world system that sometimes we focus so much attention on. We have victory over Satan. By resisting, we resist him. We have victory over the world system by what? By being transformed. And so we stand our ground. And as we stand our ground, and he give us this power, he give us this dunamis power, he give us the Holy Spirit that operates in us. And so we resist him, and we have been transformed by the renewing of the mind. And we thank him. We thank him for what he give us. And he said, peacemakers, and we follow his example. And being a peacemaker, and we're in the household of God, and we're taking care of the business. And being a peacemaker, as we've been a peacemaker in the household of God, let's take a look at this. It means becoming the initiator and reconciling conflicts between others and us. So we have a ministry of reconciliation as we reconcile. So, you know, as we look in the world, what people and groups are at odds, one calling is to actually seek to resolve, our calling is to resolve conflict. And we can listen to love and care for people on both sides without taking sides. And that's something that we really need in the world today. I hear people all the time. We come up and we jump on people for differences and different things going on and in the world system today. And the Bible, as we taking care of God's business and the family business, we must stop and look at that. We can listen to, love, and care for people on both sides without taking sides. Oh, my. Sometimes we see it. People standing out front and got signs and bats and everything else, blowing up clinics and shooting doctors and chasing nurses and everything else. And got all these heinous signs and eisegeting scripture. And we see it happen. Then we got this other side over there, and they over there throwing rocks at them. And then you got another group over there, all kinds of things, all the conflict. And Jesus said that we are peacemakers. Hey, we don't have no business out there doing all that. And that's what the church needs to understand by taking care of God's business. We don't have no business out there doing all that. And we find ourselves caught into other things about different people groups and different peoples and different belief systems, and we come and people are standing and they're going against that. That create conflict. That's not what a peacemaker, our son and daughter of God, is doing. We about his business. He tells us to do what? He tells us to love. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. And then he tells us to care for people. He said, care for one for people. Love our neighbors. To care for people. And people on both sides, those that are saved, those that are not saved, those that are rejected, those that have fallen away, everybody. We don't discriminate. God don't discriminate, and so that's everybody. So we doing this, both sides, without taking side. Now, can you? Ain't that something? That's like being an arbitrator, our counselor. Jesus, the counselor. Isaiah speaks of him. Wonderful counselor, and that's like being an arbitrator, our counselor. Mediator. Jesus Christ is our mediator, and you sit there, and he give us the ministry of reconciliation as his representative. We're sitting there, and we're not taking sides. Mediators don't take sides. So we have been called as peacemakers, and so we come in, and we're dealing with people, and we're dealing with people, and we're not taking sides because we stand on what? We got two sides. Now we stand on the third side, and we stand on the side of peace. Peace. Peacemaking means going into the family business, the business of God's family. Peacemaking means going into the family business, the business of God's family. It's Reverend Frankie Dorsey, the President Ministry of World Evangelism. Our pastor, the Reverend Dr. Doris Dorsey. Once again, we come as we expound on the Word of God. ask that you search yourself, as Paul said, let a man examine himself and see where are we in the family of God. Where are we in the family of God? Are we, and as far as taking care of the family business, taking care of the family business. I was so reminded as we look at this series here on the Sermon of the Mount, as we look, we'll see, and here is the question, as we stop and look at it, the statement, peacemaking means going into the business of God's family. God bless you.